The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Johnny, that's better than most. That is better than most. Better than most!
Better Than Most is a regular feature of The Business of Giving, examining the best places to work among social businesses and nonprofit organizations.
This evening, we'll be making our way down to Arlington, Virginia, and the headquarters of PBS, the Public Broadcasting Service. Tremendous pride and dedication to the mission, as you will hear from members of the PBS team.
If you ask any American, they can tell you their personal story about how PBS and our programs have impacted their life, whether it's our early childhood programs, you know, watching Sesame Street or Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood, or news and documentaries that have really, you know, changed their lives.
Well, one key thing is communication. And I sat at my very first staff meeting, all staff meeting here, with my mouth hanging open as they were talking about all of the hot issues or all of the, you know, problem areas that people were thinking about in relation to what was happening with PBS.
We're here because we do things that no one else will. We've got something special at PBS. We've got a culture of people who are personally invested, thoughtful, intelligent, passionate about the good that we do. And you can't beat that.
And to that, both of my bags that I was carrying on had PBS luggage tags on them. And the woman in front of me, when I was going through security, stopped me after we went through the wand thing. And she said, "I just wanted to stop and say thank you for all that you do." And I was like, "Why?" At the airport. I didn't know what was going on. And then I remembered I was emblazoned with the pea head and stuff. And she was she gave me a hug, and she said she's a Denver local and really loves what we do.
And when I got to PBS, they were in need of a change in what we were doing. The systems that they had when they brought me in were very antiquated. So it gave me an opportunity to begin to work towards the stuff that I love, which is the technology and the blinking lights and all of those fun things. But there was also a culture of stability, and there was no risk-taking. It was very stable, and so what we started to do is train people who had been here for, you know, some people who had been here for over 40 years, that risk was good, fail fast, recover, learn from that, and then move forward. And that's the culture that we've instilled in our tech side now, which was something that wasn't here too long ago.
But I felt very much that it was really special to be at a place that put the focus on, first and foremost, how is this meeting the objective of giving kids something that they can use in their lives that's going to get them to a better place, or that's going to be helpful to them or memorable to them. And that really touched me.
Wow, you're going to learn so much just on a daily basis, just by just the sheer content and work product that you're going to touch. And I didn't really understand what that meant until maybe at the conclusion of like my first year here, where I was able to work on a variety of projects that really did allow me to learn. You know, as an employee here, I'm learning just as our viewers are learning, along with the programs that we output to America. And so that has just resonated with me after all these years. One of the reasons why I've stayed so long is because of the content and the projects that I'm able to touch on a daily basis.
When we began to launch the channel for the 24 kids, the opportunities that came forward for us to work across teams that have typically been sort of siloed just really blew the doors open for every single thing that we're doing now. So when we think about different projects and initiatives today, we automatically think about, okay, what other team is going to be affected by what I'm doing, and how do I get them engaged at the very beginning of what we're doing? So the culture is, you know, it goes beyond collaboration. It really is getting into the world of partnership. And I think that's one of the things that makes it really great to work here.
I've gone from being a person that was on a team to managing what's now a decent-sized team, and I'm really thankful that I had good role models to do that, because I have a great team now, I think largely because I learned from people that came before me. And when I think about hiring, I definitely think about the culture we have here, and is this person going to add to it and embrace it and make it better? Do you know what I mean? Because it is such a, it's such a part of why we all work here, that you really want to think about kind of who those people are, and are they gonna bring their A game to the culture part, not just to the work part, and be part of a team, or are they just gonna kind of come in and do the job? Because that's kind of not, I think, what we all want.
One of the things I really wanted to avoid, and one of the reasons I was leaving the law firm, is because the business model there, at all of them, is really about specialization, becoming an expert in some very narrow niche category. And when I came here, I told my new boss what I really wanted was a broad portfolio of different projects to work on. And boy, have they delivered. What I love about this place is the opportunities for cross-training and how unpredictable the days are.
We have a 3-year strategic plan at PBS. Our current strategic plan runs 2018 to 2020, and there are 4 pillars of the strategic plan. And because Paula and Jonathan, our CEO and COO, are so passionate about that the people make PBS what it is and really defining and focusing on our culture, they actually made culture one of the 4 strategic pillars. So it's in our plan, and we've really been focusing on it. And it's super exciting from an HR perspective to be able to work on that at a strategic level. So one of the ways that we've been focusing on it is defining our core values. And the way that we've done this is through a cross-organizational sprint team.
But what I would say is that I'm now in a stronger position. I'm much more kind of contributing or willing to contribute in that forum, on that call. I'm more willing to go and seek the advice of a manager or HR when I have an issue, just to get advice. And just in light of everything that's going on in the country, I think that's why I picked this example, is because I wish there were more places like PBS where, you know, it's a place that really is committed to all of us doing our best and to evolving where we need to evolve, and to being an inclusive and diverse place and living its values.
Thinking about rituals or recognition, I was going to say fabulous prizes. You know, when we have our all staff meetings or different gatherings, you know, oftentimes there are drawings and prizes, giveaways, and as Leif mentioned, a whole wardrobe of T-shirts and PBS memorabilia. And I think that really creates a spirit, a team spirit here that is really kind of special and unique, and something that you don't get a lot of other places.
It's amazing how committed, professional, just plain out nice it is to deal with HR. I thought I'd never say that. In a corporate environment, it's the death march up to the HR suite, and a very stern-looking person is there. That isn't the experience at PBS.
One of the things that he revealed to me in the last year was that one of the reasons he said, you know, he checked the box to hire me was because of sort of the culture attitude I had at that conference, and in working with other stations. I was still at a station, but helping other stations collaborate and teach them things that I had learned in my job. I've always been sort of a giving and sharing person, probably to a fault, but I want others to succeed just as much as I have, and as much as my organization did and will, and this is a system that encourages that every single day. So it's very easy to sort of feel welcomed at a place that you know, wants you to share success, not just hoard it.
The average length and tenure of my staff is about 27 years. And I often ask them, why do they stay? And they tell me, flat out, it's a good job and it's a good place to work. They actually love it here. They love it so much that they are not afraid to be critical of things that they feel are not going well. And that's often sometimes in an abrasive manner in which they display their discomfort. However, I can tell you that every time that something like that has happened, we've been the better for it, because we go through the process of working with them to figure out what we can do to make it better or to understand where the problem is. And we come out on the backside of that with a better environment for everybody involved, managers and employees.
We try to really give thoughtful feedback in the rejection letter. So not just say, no, this won't work for us. Say, no, it's not really the right fit for us because, you know, we're looking for this, or because, you know, we didn't quite see enough of that in your pitch, and you might want to consider, you know, working on that when you take this out again, things like that. And I've heard now from a number of people who've kind of, you know, who have either met in person at industry events or who have emailed me back just to say, that's not something that happens, you know. we send this out a lot. We've been in this industry for a long time. We normally just hear no. It's really great to get that kind of feedback. And again, this isn't a sort of, you know, pat on the back for us, but more just to say that it's I think a reflection of the fact that we do really appreciate all of the thought and effort that people put into the work that they do, both in this building and outside the building. And we want to really, you know, take the time to thank people for that. So again, something really special about PBS.
One of my very best friends works at PBS. And so, you know, just kind of going back to the culture of how I have felt as a PBS employee when I had a friend who had been laid off from her job and is in the media field and was looking for her next thing, and there was an opening in the department for which she works, it was just the perfect synergy. Everything fell into place, and I was happy to make that connection. And you know, I wouldn't recommend a best friend of mine to come and work here if I wasn't having, you know, a great experience myself.
One thing I just wanted to mention in terms of recognition is that PBS does have a program called Bravo Awards, where you can nominate people to get like a on-the-spot cash performance bonus. And what I love about it, I mean, I love the idea just in general, but I also love that you can nominate people in other departments. It doesn't just have to be people in your department. So I'm a big overuser of that, I feel, a lot, because I'm told, like, we just did some for you. But I just think it's great to recognize people, do you know what I mean? And, like, especially when there's great collaboration, you want to, like, recognize it, reward it, and, like, have them feel good about doing it again. You know, you want to reinforce that good behavior that people are modeling.
I think the main thing I wanted to talk about, though, was how everyone here is such a nerd, and I love it. It's a place where you can geek out about things, and everyone geeks out with you about the content, about the work you're doing. I was working the other day on a documentary about Neanderthal skeletal structure, and then we were all getting into that and talking about what they could do. We were working on a drama about midwives in 1950s England, and everyone wanted to make sure that the outfits were period accurate and period appropriate.
We really capitalize on this to say, yes, we are nerds, and everybody's a nerd about something, I think is the motto of PBS Nerd. And we have shirts and glasses, and for a while we were even internally awarding PBS Nerd of the Month. And you could nominate a colleague who totally nerds out about something, and they did interviews about what are you a nerd about, and I nominated my colleague Christy, who is amazing, and she was so excited to win Nerd of the Month. It was awesome.
I want to extend my thanks to all those who participated in this piece. Aparna Kumar, Karen Avery, George Molnar, Leif Brostrom, Renard Jenkins, Natalie Engel, McKay Goodwin, Jennifer Allen, Talia Rosen, and Jessica Driscoll. To hear this again, read the transcript, or see pictures of the participants, just come visit denver-frederick.com.
three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.